What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief.
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we have such a cool guest. We're very excited to have her on. She's the host of the Burning in Hell podcast, where she interviews guests about their insecurities, anxieties, and fears. And she's also right now on the Bravo reality TV show Summer House. Please give it up for Hannah Burner.
Yay!
It's like a packed room in here. I love it.
It's hard to like get you all together to do this. It's exciting.
Thanks for coming and doing it.
Cannot wait to dive into this. Do you have a favorite or least favorite quote that you'd like to kick off the show with?
So I was inspired by, I stalked your Instagrams beforehand because I'm a professional.
Oh, yeah, girl.
I want to know what I'm getting involved into.
Yeah.
Kelsey, were you the basketball player?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you all kind of look slightly alike in the best way.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Like that we could be related, sisters? Like a half-sister situation.
Yes. Yeah. That meant to be a compliment. So you were playing basketball and I have a basketball quote. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, so I like to relate sports to life. Also because I have an insane sports family.
Yes.
That like they don't understand that sports is just a game. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But my quote is, even when it's raining, the hoop is always there.
Ooh,
I like that.
And I love it because it's like when you're in a dark place, you can't see that there's so many opportunities on the horizon or even like at that moment.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever have something good happen to you and you're like, I could have never predicted this a year ago?
Totally.
But like, so when you're in that dark place, know that like there's still light even though you can't see it.
I love it.
So freaking
look at you coming in.
I came in hot. Well, you guys prepared me.
Dunk.
Oh, look, there's cameras. I didn't see that. Oh, sorry. Yes. I haven't been cheating.
This is a reality TV show professional here.
I'm just trained to not notice the cameras. Yeah. Just being natural. Okay, now I have to change my hair. That's the whole thing. No.
That's a great quote.
That is good.
Thank
I love
you.
That. I haven't heard that one before.
And what's your least favorite?
My
quote?
Least favorite is anything that has to do with hustle.
Really? That's funny because as like a sports person, I would think that that's like right up your alley.
No, I think that it's like makes people psychotic, like the whole Gary Vee thing. Like, you gotta wake up at 6 a.m. when other people are sleeping. And I feel like everyone has their own way of being the most productive, creative people. And like if you're constantly pressured to hustle, like you're gonna want to kill yourself.
Yeah, wow,
and
I
if you're constantly
it.
Comparing the hustle, it's just life is too different. Yeah. And hustling has created animosity towards myself of being like, you shouldn't take a break. You shouldn't rest.
Yeah, girl, you're at the right podcast.
You need to take that mental or physical break to like grow and to excel. So like all that hustle bullshit. Also, when people say stuff like, I saw this Instagram quote that was like, never tell people how hard you're working. And that's how you know, like, you're going to be successful. And I'm like, so you're basically trying to tell people you're working hard. So therefore, you saying that is you.
Oh, just, like, you know what I mean? Show people how hard you're working. Like, don't tell them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they are clearly telling people that they're working hard by saying that quote, not to tell people you're working hard. It's just the whole thing. It just basically, like, it pisses me off.
That's quoteception right there.
Quoteception. That wasn't the exact quote. I butchered it. But you know what I was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're on board.
And it's like, there's a, like, the Instagram model, obviously, that, like, is that idealism of beauty that's fake. And there's also that, like, hustle model on Instagram. That's like fake,
right?
When you see someone like on their plane, like going from LA to DC to New York, and it's like it's never what it actually is.
Yeah, that's so true.
I mean, even like comedians, and they're like, oh, like booked a gig. It's like you're getting $5 for that gig. Like you probably got booed off stage. Like stop trying to brag about it.
That's funny.
Or you're sad, you know? You definitely, I won't speak for Kelsey, but I've certainly posted like things like, look at this, and I'm touring, I'm on the road. And it's like, I'm crying while I post it. It's like, I'm gone so much.
100%.
But everybody's like, you're so busy.
Oh, yeah.
And you know you've had those moments where you're looking at other people working hard and success, and it's like, damn, she's so busy. I wish I was busy like her. So there's all that kind of fakeness that you need to look through, look past.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like the Instagram quote that's going around right now. Not really a quote, but it's the word hustle crossed out, and it just says balance underneath.
That's so good.
It makes my heart warm.
Yeah, that's what we need.
I love that. And that's like my new California vibe.
California. You've been here, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, I've literally been here for under 48 hours, and I'm like, at least changed me.
Yeah, I'm like, your flower crown just sprouting out of your head.
I want to get like a little dog to put in my bed.
I have one. You're not like, ew. Like,
well, I had a lot of like ideas about LA, and I, as a native New Yorker from Brooklyn, but I would like talk shit about LA and then be like, oh, I've never been there though. And people are like, Hannah, you can't talk shit if you're not informed.
Yes.
So, but LA I always thought was like a little more like about aesthetics and like a little more about like physical stuff. They say like,
oh, we are. Don't let us fool you.
Yeah. They say like a blue verification in LA is like a Harvard law degree in New York.
That is hilarious.
That's so good, dude.
But like, I just love stereotypes in general.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying that. But LA is fascinating.
Now you can talk shit with conviction because you've been here.
Now I'm like, I know. Yeah. I have evidence. I have the receipts.
Well, I think everyone tries to look perfect, but in like a, like, I didn't even try. Like, kind of, you know what I mean?
I woke up like this.
Yeah.
Or they like, no offense to you, like with the hat, but if you added sunglasses, like I feel like people walk around like they're someone more than they are.
Walked in with sunglasses on.
You were like, I intro the self-helpless podcast, so I need my space.
I need privacy. That's so funny. And I feel like a total douchebag. It's just because I haven't showered and I have acne.
No, you look cute.
Thank you.
You gotta hide.
Trying to hide as much as I can. Yeah. I was gonna say, speaking of like hustle and all that, Taylor and I were just texting about the Beyonce documentary yesterday. Did you see it yet?
I need to see it. Wait, when did it come out?
A week ago.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. So I haven't seen it.
Yeah, okay. You're okay.
Boy, like the whole idea of hustle, and I wouldn't say that we are an anti-hustle podcast, because I definitely think that we like try and motivate people to do their best.
Yes.
But one of my favorite quotes at the beginning of this podcast has now become one of my least favorite quotes, which is, remember, you have as many hours in the day as Beyonce, because that used to give me very unrealistic ideas of how I should be spending the hours of my day.
Yeah.
And you watch this documentary and it's like, you know what? Like, God bless her, because I mean, I need her in my life and she's amazing, but like, not everybody can do that.
No, she has an extra 10 hours.
Like, her work ethic is insane.
Yeah. And I mean, she also has the help of like a lot of people around her.
Yeah.
But her individual work ethic is truly, I mean, I've never seen anything
like that. But I also think, like, if you're looking at true success, it's someone who has a combination of the work ethic plus the passion plus the fucked upness of like a little insecurity and need for affirmation.
Right. Yeah. So it's like a fuckload of luck.
And a fuckload of luck, yeah, and timing and money and good genes. but I think that she clearly like loves what she does, and I don't know what drives her. And sometimes what drives people isn't healthy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which is also why I started my podcast Burning in Hell. Because I was meeting all these celebrities when I worked for Betches doing interviews. Mm-hmm. And I always was like, if I had the like platform and like the money, I would be happy. And you realize like, oh, so many of these people are dealing with so much of the same shit we are, and I wanted to be able to talk. And they're just like always bragging in these interviews, and I'm like, I want to talk about the bad things that you're embarrassed about,
exactly,
you're insecure about, and also learn how they cope with it. Like, I want to know from Beyonce how she copes with when she gets burnt out. Like, that's interesting to me.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
That she's like, I am running on so much. I don't know what she's running on.
Yeah, right.
When I don't know either. Because in the movie, she's like, I cut out fish, meat, carbs, alcohol, sugar, bread. I'm like, what is she eating? And then they have a shot of her eating an apple, and you're like, I guess that's it? Like,
yeah, no, there. Once you eliminate all that, I don't know what is
plant-based. Have you seen the Serena Williams documentary?
Oh, no. I watched half of it, and that's like...
It was kind of triggering to me, so I couldn't finish it. But like, she's a psycho control freak. Like, they're not necessarily healthy and living the happiest lives.
Yeah.
And that's why I'd say, like, Beyonce... I'm throwing shit out there. I might regret saying this, but like, obviously she has some relationship issues, and her career probably wasn't good for her relationship necessarily, or maybe it bonded. So it's like, not all positivity that this girl's able to work so hard.
Yeah. Well, to get to that point, you kind of have to be obsessed and addicted to it. That's how you become the best in the world,
and to be
or one
addicted
of the greats,
to anything,
right?
It's like alcoholics are not just alcoholics. They're trying to numb something else. I'm basically trying to say Beyonce's fucked up. Just kidding. No, but I'm saying like there's more and complexity to like, I just see her as like a human. I wonder why she has that like incredible drive and what's the deeper meaning behind it. But ultimately, I think she feels like almost with me, once I started to get a platform, instead of like being scared of it, I was like, oh wait, all these fucked up things happened to me in my life, so I could tell people about it with my platform, whether it's through laughter or through other things. And maybe she feels like she has this talent and she brings so much joy, and that's what drives her.
I'm
just making up things.
I think you're right. I mean, she does look like she's having so much fun.
Oh, it's like, it's the coolest thing. And I mean, she also, I think a lot of the focus of the documentary is that she's the first African-American woman to headline Coachella.
Wow.
So she wanted it to be like a really big moment for her. And you know, her whole, like her whole team of people on stage, it is some of the most talented musicians, dancers ever. And so I think for her it was more than just like, oh, I want to put on a good concert for people. It's like, I want to send a message. And
I also
and
think
really
it's important for girls to see that that like she has a whole family and she's built an entire empire. And I think women, that's why like back in the day when they were housewives, they just like get drunk on wine all the time, because like women are meant to create shit. We're creators. Like, we want, whether we're creating comedy or like
people.
Yeah. We are not destroyers, we're creators. And I think it's great, and hopefully it inspires other women to be like, fuck yeah, I can do that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Can you share like a little bit about your podcast? Like, what have been some big surprises? Who have you interviewed? Like, who have you been surprised with that's like dealing with some shit?
Well, if you guys are Bravo fans, I interviewed Margaret Josephs, who's on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. She's interesting because she's like an older woman. She's, I think, late 50s. She left her husband for like the guy working on her house.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's like, and some like, real housewives. Yeah, real housewives.
Shit. Yeah. And like, most podcasts, I'm not dealing with people who have like whole family drama like that I know of. But I was like, I have to talk to her about it. We're in hell. We're burning in hell.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you regret ruining your whole family dynamic for this guy? Like, I had to say it. And yeah. She looked at me and she talks like this. And she was like, I don't regret starting a family with Jan, my ex. He was the perfect man to start a family. And my current man now, Joe, is the perfect man for me now. And there's different loves for different times. And she kind of showed me, like, everything you're taught as a child was, like, she's like, yeah, loves are sometimes for different people at different times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
Like, we're
but
so
what about
taught.
Your family, though? Like, are they cool? Like,
I mean, kids, schmids, who cares?
Are the kids adults and stuff?
The kids are adults.
Oh, okay.
Like,
all right.
So it was like, old when they were older.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's still, like, she had to deal with a lot of bullshit. But she was like, I had to choose my happiness over my kids. And my kids didn't understand at first.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, like, as a young woman, you're taught that, like, love story of, like, you meet the man of your dreams, you get married and you run away happy ever after. Mm-hmm. And then to hear someone else be like, I didn't do it and I fucked up real bad and like I'm really happy right now.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice. Also, how many people do you think just stay in divorces because of society? Oh. I mean, stay and don't get divorced.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many. Yeah. A lot of people I know.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. Women don't want to be judged and men don't want to be judged. And it's like, you know what? Who cares what other people think? Do you hate yourself right now or not?
Yeah. I'm just trying to hold out until I'm the age that would be my second marriage. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
I'm just going to skip the first mistake.
Because then you get the guys.
And get older.
Because all the good ones are taken right now. If I'm in my late 20s. You got to wait for the divorce rate.
Yeah.
Which is smart. I like that strategy. Yeah.
That's what my manager told me. She goes, you got to get married at, like, after 40. And I was like, what? I can't wait that long.
That's
like,
funny.
I also had Ryan Serhant, if you guys watch Million Dollar Listing on Bravo.
I've heard of this.
It's so he's like, he wanted to be an actor and then started real estate to make money in New York City and then became like the star of Million Dollar Listing on Bravo.
Oh, no.
So
wow.
It's interesting how
that's
like
cool.
He literally gave up on his dream and somehow found his dream again. Like,
that's
the universe,
really neat.
The universe was like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he has like millions of dollars and he has a vlog and he's so busy and he's just insane. And I'm like, how do you do it? And he's like, oh, I feel the constant need to succeed or I hate myself. And it's like a scary feeling.
That, oh,
wow. But he found like a wife who calms him down.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. Is like, stop talking about work. Turn off your phone. So it's just so he's tortured in his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
He has so much money, but it's never going to be enough. And he knows that.
Wow.
But like,
yeah,
talking to these people and seeing the human side to them, it's just like, it makes the world seem so different than just like the successful and not successful. I feel like success is once you can master your own mind and it's not mastering you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you mentioned that you have some fucked up shit. Would you like
oh
to
my
share
God,
with
yeah.
us?
What about you?
I want to ask specifically yeah. about, because you said the Serena documentary was yes. triggering for you because
oh, yeah.
you used to play tennis.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how it was triggering for you?
100%.
And how tennis players are
well, so I think tennis players are psychopaths uh-huh. because it's the loneliest sport. If you think about it, like you're on your side of the court. You can't be coached. There's no one in your corner. You can't call timeout. You can't pass the ball when you get nervous. There's no one to blame when you lose.
Mm.
So even saying that, I'm like a little shook.
Yeah.
Like it's scary.
Yeah.
But I always put myself out there and it was like performing for me. I always had a creative side. I liked the attention and I naturally was skilled at it and athletic and I like was very hyper. So it was a good thing for
yeah,
me to
do. Yeah, a
good
outlet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm from Brooklyn and like I experienced 9/11 when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like the first time you realize what the world is. Like around 10 years old, you start like having more emotions and your brain start to form of like what things are. You're not just following your parents around. And I was like, holy shit, the world is really scary.
Yeah.
Like my friend's parents died. Mm-hmm. So I coincidentally started to play tennis right when that happened, like really getting into tennis. And I think I was like, I can control like my parents' happiness and my happiness with this sport. And like the world made more sense with sports. Like I can go on the court and I win and my parents love me. Everyone's happy. I'm happy. And I put all of my anxiety into this sport, I think, where like I wouldn't deal with other issues. Like everything else I didn't care about. It was all about tennis. And
because you couldn't control any of that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, but tennis was going well. Like I got ranked top 15 in the nation when I was 14. I moved to Florida.
Oh my God.
Damn.
I mean, I was in it. Like, I was in it, and when I was 5 years old, I told my parents I want to be a professional tennis player. So you have that, like, voice as a kid that you don't want to, like, disappoint.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I told myself I was going to do this. But I didn't realize, like, I suffered from so much performance anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I would win, like, I'd figure it out. But, like, competition was, like, judgment day to me. It's like being a stand-up comedian and like loving practicing jokes and being really funny, but the second you're on stage, it's your hellhole.
So it's like, what that feels like.
Imagine
I'm like kidding. Yeah,
doing
I get it.
That for your whole life and not growing was scary. And then I got like a full ride to University of Wisconsin. I played professionally a little, and like, I didn't understand why this was happening to me. I'm like, this is what I meant to do. So why am I self-sabotaging and like not happy on the court ever? And finally, I was like, I can't do it anymore. And also, I fucking hate quotes that are like, never quit, because it made me feel like a quitter.
Right.
Yeah. When really, I think I was just like, the universe, I think, pushes you off of paths for a reason.
Yeah.
And I was just like banging my head against the wall. And I'm like, I want to be a professional tennis player. Then I went to sales, which was again like, my dad was my coach, so we had a tough relationship. Like, he's my best friend, but, like, it was very hard to see my dad upset when I lost. No. He was kind of living vicariously through me.
Yeah.
But then I was, like, he was a salesman, and I was like, now I'm going to do sales, and I'm going to do really well. So I did the same pattern.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And I think you have to think of life as, like, to simplify it, is you're just doing a lot of patterns, and the second you learn how to break the pattern is when you find yourself. That's like really deep, but I feel like we're all kind of like computers, like zeros and ones, and like you learn a lot of shit as a child, and then you just like subconsciously do it when you're older. But the second you could like cancel out everyone else's voices and hear yourself is when you're free.
Totally.
So I finally like quit. I quit sales. I went to marketing, which is even more boring. But I did some sports broadcasting at Wisconsin, where I played tennis, and I learned how to edit video. And I literally just had this moment. I was watching old YouTubes of me, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do video. I just like manifested the word video. I didn't know what it would mean. And then, long story short, someone who I had met had like heard that I was interested in video and said, Betches, who is this like big Insta, like, like millennial social female social media, is looking for their first video producer with 5 years experience. And I was like, I don't have that. But I believe that you should never take a job that you're fully qualified for. I think women need to start thinking that way. Like, like men, like, really, I'll figure it out. And women are like, I'm overqualified, I'm perfect for this. Go in a little with a little fear.
Yeah.
But it's like going to do a show that like you know you're gonna sell out easy. No, try to get the bigger, you know, venue.
Interesting, yeah.
So I like sent a funny video and I had some ideas, and I've always had humor in my life. My dad's very funny. And I was dating a stand-up at the time, so I was subconsciously taking all his powers while we had sex. It was like Space Jam. I was just like taking his power. No, but he was like just inspirational to me. And he was like very, I was like, if he could do it, he had intimacy problems, so we'd just joke all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, if he could do it, I feel like I could do it. And so Betches, my stuff started to go viral. I was writing videos for them. I was like creating my comedic voice. And it was a new place that like didn't have winning or losing. It was just like me trying to find my voice.
Nice.
And then tennis like started to make sense. I was like, oh, I was doing something that like wasn't 100% right for me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I didn't disappoint that little girl when she was young. I just grew and I changed.
Yeah.
And like, what is success besides just like being happy with what you're doing? Who cares? If I walked in and I said I won the US Open, you guys would be like, cool. Like, it's not going to change my life. I feel like life is like 5% really happy times, 5% really sad times, then like the rest is just like existing.
Right.
So it's like, if you can't just find that existing time comfortable, it's like you're fucked.
Right.
Not to get dark, but
no, that's real, man. That hit me hard.
Yeah.
Shit.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
So yeah, that was like my life in a quick synopsis.
Yeah. So when you watch a documentary where she's like trying to get back into tennis right after she gave birth, you're just like the anxiety.
It's triggering too, because I felt like I still felt like kind of a failure because I quit it. But I have to understand that like it's okay that something wasn't meant for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I know in LA, like, everyone's chasing a dream and they're always like, should I quit? Should I quit? But I feel like as long as it's still making you happy, still do it. As long as you can still pay your bills and it's making you happy, still do it. And yeah, you'll get upset because you get rejected a lot. But like, when you know it's what you're meant to do, it's all you're meant to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a question about was there like a moment when you knew like, I'm definitely quitting, like this is not me anymore? Was it like a progression? Because I quit stand up about a year ago, which we've talked about on the show. Mm-hmm. And I know the exact moment I decided like, I got to get the fuck out of this. Do you have a moment, or was it like?
I had brainwashed myself so hard, but it happened because college tennis ended. And like, I had a choice to go pro or to go sit at a desk and work. And my whole life, my dad taught me like, success is being paid to be able to play a game. Like, that's what I thought success was. And I saw it very black and white. Like, you either made it or you're sitting at a desk and your life sucks. But I like to go pro as a tennis player. We're learning a lot about sports today. To go pro as a tennis player, it's not like basketball or football where you just get signed to a team. Tennis is entrepreneurial. Like, I have to pay for my travel. If I don't get a sponsorship, I only get paid when I win.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
And it's very lonely. If you can afford to pay with a coach, you have a coach. But otherwise, you're traveling alone. And like, you're only, it's just like a sad, sad life. And I wasn't ranked high enough after college for me to be like, this is for sure a thing. Yeah. It's funny, is when I told my parents I'm not going pro, they all were like, thank God. Because like, really? We were tortured.
Yeah.
But also, there was, if you didn't know us, you'd be like, Hannah is such an incredible tennis player. Because on paper, I got a full scholarship to college. Yeah. Like, I was ranked always like top, you know, 20 in the nation. Like, life was like good on the outside. Yeah. That's why it's like, success does not equate to any kind of like
deep real happiness,
contentment.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I wanted to, but yeah, instead of doing like the desk job, I realized, it took me a couple years to realize, just because I stopped my dream doesn't mean there's not other dreams happening. Yeah. I thought it was like, you're literally an accountant or you're a professional athlete. Yeah. Right. But then I like re-realized, like, when I was a kid, I tried to get close to my inner child. Like, when you were a kid, thinking what you actually enjoyed doing, and like, yeah, I love playing sports and running around, but I also was the one who, like, if you gave me a pen and paper, I was like drawing for like 5 hours. I'm like, no one interrupt me. Or I was like trying to do silly dances to make everyone laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we are not just like one dimensional like spirits.
Mm-hmm.
We're so much more complicated than that. And like, tennis, I think, prepared me so much, even for like my comedy, because, or segueing to reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tennis is so much fucking drama. It's like me and a girl across from me just like fighting for like scholarships, all this. It's insane. Like, cheating, yelling. It was crazy. So like, when I'm on reality TV and like this girl Lindsay's trying to bully me, I'm like, bitch, you don't even know what I've seen. This
funny.
Is entertainment. Like, I've dealt with like my mom and dad paying hundreds of dollars for me to travel to Arizona for a tournament, and a girl cheating me during Deuce and me losing my shit.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm like, someone just like saying that, like trying to make me feel bad. I'm like, okay. So it was still like performative for me and fun. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, we all have so many skills and so many things. It's just our brain that can close us off.
Yeah.
Like, your future is literally just controlled by how creative your brain is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the jump between the desk job to being on a reality TV show? How does that work?
Great question. When I was at Betches, I was just like making videos. I thought it was my dream job. I was having so much fun. And then I got a DM from a producer because I like kind of knew some people on the cast. And I grew up, I'm a native New Yorker. In New York, you like, during the summer, you don't stay in the city. It's like gross concrete jungle. You go out to Long Island and you go and you play tennis or golf. I would like nap at my grandpa's house and like play golf. I didn't party the way we do, but I was like, let's do it. And I kind of was like, this is gonna be me. I'm gonna be myself. But I think it's an opportunity for me to show people, like, just because you're on TV doesn't mean you're perfect. I could be on TV and show people, like, I have insecurities. I've dealt with depression. I've dealt with anxiety. I have daddy issues that are more complex than what the media shows. And I'm like, I could take this opportunity and do something like reality TV hasn't stereotypically seen.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So I'm like kind of having fun with that right now. Obviously, I can't control how the thing ends up, but like I try to just be really authentic and not afraid of like looking like an idiot. Hey, and embarrassing my entire family, which can happen.
That's a good way to go into reality TV, is just being like, hey, whatever is gonna happen is gonna happen.
But they say when be authentic. If you try to produce yourself, the producers like laugh in your face because you're not in control.
I would not do well. Reality TV.
That sounds terrifying. I mean, as somebody who's like anxious, as you just said, how the fuck are you on a reality TV show? Like, and not like pulling your hair out? Is it just because it's like funny to you and you're like, oh, it's like a funny thing to do? Or like, how, because it sounds like an absolute nightmare to me. Like, I really don't know how
anyone
would deal with that stress.
It was a timing thing because, like, I think we all deal with anxiety to an extent. And, like, I did fucking work on myself. Like, I was in therapy and I was like, why does my brain play tricks on me? And I was in a really, like, healthy place by the time reality TV was like, hey, you want to do this? And I was like, it was almost like me playing a match when I'm finally ready, except it was in a different vertical. And, like, I didn't have any nerves, and I kind of was like, I've worked on myself.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was in a relationship where I recently like felt like I lost myself. And had, it was like tennis came through him again, where it was like I felt expectations and I wanted to win and I wanted to hold him up like a trophy when he was so not right for me. And then it just like blew up in my face and I got in a dark place. And then getting out of it, like getting out of a dark place will teach you more about yourself than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything. So I think I was like out of my dark place and I was like, I like who I am in the mirror. And it's an adventure that I thought, like, how often do you get asked to do that?
Yeah.
And I was like, worst case scenario, my entire family's embarrassed. But you know what? I've embarrassed them before. And, like, I think it was risky of me, but it seemed like a risk that I wanted to take. Mm-hmm. Some risks are really scary to me that aren't scary to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, like, I'll raise my hand in front of, like, 200 people and talk, and other people are like, are you a maniac? And I'm like, just my brain.
Yeah. Well, I know for public speaking, that's like so many people's number one fear. And yeah. For us, that's where we feel most comfortable. But yeah.
You're so right.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of comedians.
Maybe this is a dumb question. I don't watch a lot of reality.
No questions are dumb.
What is Summer House about?
That is a great question.
Okay.
So where are you from originally?
I'm from California.
Okay, cool. Are you guys from California too?
I am.
I'm from Washington State.
Oh, nice. But you're all like West Coast. Ooh, this is fun. Okay. So Summer House is about people who have like fun, cool jobs in the city. Some are more fun than others, but like, so we're working hard in the city. I live in Midtown Manhattan, so it's like
cool.
The Empire State Building. I'm on that block. It's just
you're in it, man.
I'm in it. And the reason I'm in it is because the rent is cheaper and it's easy to get anywhere on the subway. I'm just trying to get you to like envision.
No, I love it.
And I walk like 10 blocks to my job. Everything's walking or subway or an expensive Uber. So I'd work at Betches. But then on the weekends, during the summer, a lot of people get summer Fridays, or you just have your weekend and you want to get out of the concrete jungle that's like hot and like concrete and gross. So you get a house in the Hamptons. So the Hamptons is basically like New York, but moved to a beach. It's like all the fun clubs and bars and restaurants and pools. I love pools.
Yeah.
The coolest, because you don't just, your friends don't have pools growing up in Brooklyn. But so you get this big house that like no one can afford, but you get like 10 to 20 people in it. So every weekend you do a share house. So it's basically like they follow us like drama during the week, because your week affects your weekend. Like, yeah. You get, have a your boss is an asshole to you, you're going to feel it on the weekend and want to drink a little more or whatever, however you deal with your demons.
Yeah.
But they follow us. It's like Big Brother, where you have, you're recorded 24/7, like sleeping, wow, eating, whatever.
Oh my God.
And so I'd work 5 days a week.
They record you sleeping?
I go to sleep with the red dot looking at me. I was like, motherfuckers. I'm just like, I hope I don't fart in my sleep. Sorry.
Oh my
Sorry,
God.
Producers. Oh but then, like, it's just eight of us and us dealing with, like, the friendship of summer. I know we're not coming of age because I'm 27, but I feel like we're always coming of age in, like, your time in your life. And we're all dealing with, like, none of us are married. We're dealing with finding relationships ourselves. And our careers are, like, kind of established but still working on it. So we're all in this weird phase, and it's really like fun. It's not like housewives drama where people's families are getting torn apart. It's more like your like weirdest friends having fun, and you're like, don't want to go to the party, but you'd like to be a fly on the wall at the party.
Is it like Jersey Shore? Is it like crazy, like, drunk and like,
it's like Jersey
hair?
Shore and like, but like a little classier.
Oh,
yeah.
A little.
Like
fun.
Not too much classier, but like we're getting, instead of like them doing fireball shots, we do fireball shots, but it's a lot of rosé.
Okay.
A lot of rosé.
Sure.
People like, yeah.
And you already knew some of the people who were in the cast?
I already knew some of the people, and surprisingly, like, we really all hit it off. Mm-hmm. Like, we had the kind of chemistry where, like, we call each other out on our shit, but we, like, actually do like each other.
Have you, like, hooked up on camera with anybody yet?
So I, like, kiss a guy on camera, and I also cry on camera, which I didn't think I would do. But you have to understand, however sane you are, weekend 11, some people, I'm like, if they breathe in my direction right now, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how much you think you can control yourself,
yeah,
you get pushed. But also, like, I was kind of excited to grow. Like, I grew from this reality show, which sounds so weird, but I was forced.
I'm sure you would.
I was forced to be in social situations that you could never force me to be in.
Mm.
Like, I had to. I like to be a hermit on the weekend with my cat. You like cats too, right?
I do. Like, I love how much you've stalked me.
I know. Well, it's fun. I love you too. Also, I just was connecting with the cat thing with Kelsey.
Yeah, yeah, no,
and then the basketball.
Cats.
It just. I have nothing against you two. I stalked you equally. I promise. I give you all equal stalking time. Afterwards, she's like, "That girl was obsessed with me."
I love it. I'm like, "What else did you see?"
What was I talking about?
About weekend 11.
Oh yeah.
So I'm a hermit. I just want to stay with my cat. But then I was literally forced to wake up and do things. And then I was also forced to, if someone's like kind of mean to me, I literally will just be like, note to self, that person's an asshole, and I'll talk shit about her to my best friend later. And that's how I cope with issues. And then if you come towards me, like, I don't love your energy, and I'm like, not gonna be excited to hang out with you. But this, instead, they're like, oh, are you mad at Lindsay? And I'm like, yeah, she was being kind of a bitch. Well, you have to talk to her about it. And I'm like, and they're like, you need to talk about your issues. And I'm like, but I'm drunk. And they're like, you should. So, like, it's basically dysfunctional group therapy.
Oh, that's
a good way to describe
it. Dysfunctional drunk group therapy.
So they are it's just people, like, cattle prodding you, like, go talk to
whoever. It's actually, like, really not produced a lot. Okay. But there are moments where, like, because we're in it and we're making entertainment, it's like, if someone pisses you off, you got to address it. And I'm the least confrontational person off the tennis court. Like, off the tennis court, we're all comedians. Someone says something to you, you're like, okay, and you make them laugh and you move on. You don't take anything seriously. But tennis, I would be a psychopath. But this was a time for me to confront some people. And you can, I literally, like, once had to confront someone on the show, and, like, I couldn't make eye contact with her, and I was like, you hurt my feelings. Like, I really didn't want to do it. But you get to see me in weird situations that I would have never put myself in.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me less scared of, like, real life.
Yeah. So would you say that this reality show is relatively real? Or do you still
this
think,
show
like...
This show is, like, very real because we're not, like, planning scenes.
Yeah.
The cameras are just always on, where other shows, they'll be like, okay, we're going to meet at this cafe and you guys are going to talk.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know exactly how other shows do it, but all I know is our show is just cameras everywhere. Like, there are so many scenes that I'm like, how'd they get that? I was in the hot tub. Like, no cameras.
Wow.
But there's mics behind our bed, and we didn't know
God.
That. So, like, me and Paige would wake up.
They didn't tell you that?
Oh, my God.
Me and Paige would wake up, and I'd be
how do you masturbate? Seriously.
Not on the weekends or in the bathroom. The bathrooms were safe. But if two people go in the bathroom, they're allowed to go in.
What? Oh my God.
I'm telling you.
Holy shit.
That's why by weekend 11, you're like, I will lose it on anyone.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, you guys should watch season 3 of Summer House. It's really good.
Oh my God.
I'll definitely check it out now.
I'm into it.
Yeah. I would say like a lot of other reality shows, like, you know, it's not real. Everything's overproduced. They're doing several takes per scene.
Oh, no.
But this is like hidden, planted cameras and you guys are just doing your thing.
Yeah, and like there are cameras that are filming.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never repeated anything on the show.
Wow.
Wow.
No. Yeah.
That's kind of impressive.
And it's also like because I think the cast is really good. Like I know that I think I'm like talking so much about production, but I think it's really interesting. If a show like doesn't have a good story, like people might have to step in and push them a little more. But if everything is better organic. And that's why, like Taylor, you don't watch a lot of reality TV, but I do think that I love shitty reality TV, and it's because there's like these golden nuggets of like the most real shit. But with all the fake shit, there's like golden nuggets of like heartbreak or like embarrassment that like they can capture. It's like sports for entertainment, of like the agony of defeat, like The Bachelor. Like it's all fake, but then there's that one moment when she's crying and you're like, oh my God, this is so pure. And authentic.
Good point.
And that's what I love about, because I'm fascinated by like the vulnerability of human souls. So
yeah,
that's my dark side.
That's very
like,
true.
Not for everyone. I don't know.
I know it's a little dark, but
well, who would you like to have on your podcast? Is there anybody that you're specifically like, oh man, I want to know like what is fucked up about them?
Besides Beyonce.
That is such Beyonce. Oh yeah, Beyonce would be great. I'm very fascinated with like not getting like the most famous people, but getting people that I have good chemistry with and people who are willing to go deep with me. Obviously it takes me like kind of buttering them up a little to go there. Like no one's just going to be like, yeah, I have bulimia.
Yeah.
But like people that can go there. I've always been inspired by Chelsea Handler. I think she's like cool. Like I grew up watching her show and I once taught her playing tennis. She didn't know who I was, obviously, but I taught her and like, I'm just fascinated with like her career because now she's very political. Also, I mean, even Amy Schumer too, like there's so much darkness in comedians and they've always been the best on my podcast because they know how fucked up they are and they know how to laugh about it. Because overall, my podcast has a very comedic tone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I was talking with this girl who worked for Barstool who was a military vet. And like we literally started laughing hysterically about her like suicide plan.
Whoa.
Which is insane to me, but like to have lightness in that darkness, like me saying it to you, you're like you're sick, but in the moment
it was really funny.
She was like, I'm gonna go to the George Washington Bridge, and I'm like, it's so New York for you to be like, I'm walking here, I'm trying to jump off the bridge, get your car out of my way. And we were just cracking up, and I think that for people to be able to hear that in a destigmatized way is powerful. But yeah, I don't really know who would be on my podcast. I just love fucked up conversations. That's the moral of my story. But I love comedians. Like, you all are invited, of course, to go on it next time you're in the city.
What has doing the podcast taught you about yourself?
Amazing question. It's really shown me how similar people are. Like, I found so much connection with people that I would have never thought. Like, because it's so easy to, like, project onto people that, like, you have it the hardest and, like, everyone else has it so much easier. And I was definitely guilty of that when I was in dark times, being like, no one else understands how hard it is to live in my mind. But then when you talk to someone, you're like, oh, my God, we all are still haunted by the embarrassing thing we said in third grade. Or, like, you know, we all have those moments where for no reason we illogically doubt ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, we're in it together. I think especially with females, like our brains work in a unique way. So bonding with more women has like really empowered me, especially creatives. Like even doing this podcast, like I saw my friend Remy Casimir was on it and I was like, okay, if Remy likes them, I feel like I'll like them. And I feel like women coming together over like our struggles. This is a like mental health podcast.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just really powerful that we're able to talk about it with each other.
How do you get people to open up to you about that stuff? I mean, I know you said you kind of butter them up a little bit. I'm just like, I'm sure there's 10 minutes of like, you're so amazing. Let's talk about how amazing you are. But I mean, do you have like certain questions that you ask everybody? Do you kind of get into it you know, guest to guest and do your research beforehand and kind of go like, what about this? Can we get in here and
just burrow? It's funny. I really, every podcast I end with Seven Deadly Sins, where I talk to them about like, what's the last time that you were a sloth? Or when was the last time you were angry? Who are you envious of? So like they know those questions. So like they have to answer those questions.
Oh, that's
but
fun.
In the beginning, I think I just have a knack for getting to people to open up. And I have a knack for being vulnerable myself. And I think when they see me, like I don't get embarrassed easily, which I think is why I'm good on reality TV, because I'll be like farting in the hot tub and I'm like, wah. I'm like, pay me more money per episode. But when I'm vulnerable, they feel like safer to be like, oh, that happened to me too. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, my conversations, like it's much more exhausting for me to do an interview than like for me to be on an interview with you guys. Cause when I'm interviewing someone, I'm like listening to everything they're saying and like really trying to connect to them to understand the why and how, so that when I do ask a follow-up question, it's not just being nosy. It's like actually makes sense. Like someone was talking about alcoholism and I was like, so what kind of like pain were you trying to numb?
Mm-hmm.
And like that's a logical question to ask if you're opening about that. So yeah. You just kind of like peel layers until they don't want it to be peeled anymore, and you know that. But a lot of people that come on are ready to go to hell.
Yeah.
They're like, it's, I'm like, this is not, you know, for your mom. You know, baking in the morning. We're trying to get down and dirty. This isn't for like apple pies.
Yeah.
I was going to say, a lot of our listeners, we have a private Facebook group, and a lot of people talk about like wanting to make a career change or some kind of shift, or they're hating their job.
I love course correction.
Right? So it's like, you played tennis for how long?
Like 20 years.
So you played tennis for 20 years. You were probably thinking, okay, this is it. This is forever. Mm-hmm. So how mentally, what kind of stuff were you telling yourself to kind of get you out of that place and make it okay to go elsewhere?
Well, I thought I was just like immediately behind. Like I was like, oh, I like fashion, but people have been doing fashion their whole life. Or, oh, I like comedy, but people have been doing comedy their whole life.
Yeah.
But I think you have to understand that like it's about finding your happiness. And if you're, it's not about competing with other people. It's competing with yourself.
Right.
And like ultimately, who would have known that I was like depressed, not knowing what I'm doing, and 2 years later I'm on a national TV show. It was literally just me knowing what I wanted to do. And like the results will take care of itself. I really believe that, as long as you're being like listening to your own voice of what you really want, not what your parents want, not what looks good on paper, not what you think your boyfriend wants. And then like it's almost like tennis was putting a round peg in a square hole. Or square peg in a round hole. You guys know what I was trying to say?
Yeah.
You're like, either way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you'd be surprised when you are doing something right, how things are going to accelerate for you.
Mm.
And also, as Margaret Josephs from Real Housewives of New Jersey said, like, there's no timetable. Like, time is all constructed by society. Like, I know, like, oh, you look younger sometimes, or you might be in a better place. You don't have kids. You can move at a different time. But really, like, you can follow your dreams at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it. It's like you only live one life. But like, seriously, you do what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid of like the results with it. As long as you can afford financially to like have a roof over your head and have food, the happiness will fulfill the rest by doing what you want to do. I have no tolerance for people who are like doing jobs that don't make them happy when they're not in it just like for finances. It's like, life is too short. And I know some people aren't as like hungry or crazy as me, but it's like, seriously, you get addicted to complaining sometimes.
Yeah.
Like you love being like, oh, I hate my job.
Yeah.
Get out of that. Like, you imagine all the time you could have doing what you want with that time you were complaining. Complain about fun stuff. Like, complain about, like, oh, I just like got this gig and like the trailer's not big. Like, do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's way more fun.
Yeah.
Don't complain about like your boss who sucks.
Yeah.
People so get fun. Scared to like move out of their comfort zone. It's kind of like what you were saying before, that we're just like ones and zeros. We're programmed to have these patterns. And so even if people are miserable, it's more comfortable for them to be miserable.
You're so right.
Than to break out of
and
that.
And that's why I think rock bottom is a thing, because like it's even like relationships. You'll stay with someone like until it gets like really bad. You're like, it needs to end violently for me to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like when I hit rock bottom after like my breakup, I was like, all I want is to be happy. And when you're like really clear with that, then you're just grateful for like, I'm waking up in the morning, I'm not depressed, and I'm doing what I like. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, why am I not ranked internationally? Why don't I have a sponsorship? Why am I not on Forbes 30 under 30? No. Mm-hmm. Are you happy? Yeah. The rest comes with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when was your breakup in relation to, like, how soon after was this reality TV show opportunity?
So my breakup was, I actually dated, so I dated this guy. His name's Dan Soder. He's like, does stand up in the city.
That's my man.
We're good, but like we were not great for each other. And like it ended right while I was like at Betches, and like he made me feel like so connected to like talent and like comedy, and I felt like alive and relevant, like being with him and like being part of his world. And then like when we broke up, I realized like I was kind of using him as like a trophy and being like, oh, I'm dating. And then when he was gone, I was forced to face like my tennis issues of like my ego and success, and like I wanted him to like fix all the tennis issues, to be like, oh, I'm not a failure, I'm dating him. That's literally what I did. And then once we broke up, it got really dark, and then I started to build myself up again through therapy. And next thing you know, I started my podcast. I'm going to say like it took like 6 months. Started my podcast, reality show came. It really was like a very quick. And like he's an amazing person. He was the wrong man for me. And once I got out of it, things started to like work for me, and I realized you don't need a man ever. You don't need a man. But he did help me get confidence in my comedy, mm-hmm. and like I am eternally grateful for that. Mm-hmm. He didn't know it at the time, though. I was like, how'd you come up with that joke?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, because we also get a lot of people who are writing in about like that relationship in their 20s that isn't right for them, but they're trying to make it work. And like,
don't force anything.
Yeah.
And that's why I think right now it's the first time I'm single and like happy about it, because before when I was single, I was always like fishing. I was like, who am I gonna catch? Who am I gonna trap? You know the Ali Wong joke about trapping his ass? Yeah. I'm gonna trap his ass. Yeah. Don't, she's joking. Do not trap anyone. Don't force anyone, because 8 months later, you'll be like, oh, this is why this was a terrible idea.
Right.
Like the truth comes out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just takes a while to figure it out. So like, I'm just like doing me, and I feel like with the right person, you can't fuck it up. So like, I'll ignore someone for 8 months. As long as you don't murder them, it'll work out. I believe our energies will come together. Yeah. So I'm just in this place where I'm like, I'm not trying, I'm not forcing, I'm putting myself out there in a very authentic way. Like, tell them up front, like, I like cats and astrology. If it's like pepper spray to him, it's not gonna work.
Yeah.
But if it isn't, you're like, oh,
yeah,
let's do this. Like, you're, I used to hide the fact I like cats for like a bit.
Oh no, you really? Got, if you love cats, you need to have a man who loves cats.
And like, if he's allergic, I'm like, you better fix that. Like, better figure out that genetic mutation.
Get that Claritin.
Get that Claritin.
Well,
she's allergic to cats and has
That's exactly. True love. My dad grew out of it. Just FYI,
that
it's like you desensitized.
Nice if that happens.
I used to go, oh my God, I love all animals. Like, I love dogs, but like I always had a cat growing up because I grew up in Brooklyn, so it was small. I didn't want to abuse a dog with like a small area. Right. And then later on, he's like, why do you have 100 photos of your cat sleeping on your phone? I'm like, because I love her.
I'm obsessed.
So much.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't bring her up. Now I miss her.
You just show me a picture afterward, okay?
I had it in my back as my background, and I had to take it off because I was getting too emotional whenever I checked my phone. And I checked my phone up a zillion times a day, and I was like, this is not healthy for me mentally.
That is so funny. I thought you were going to say, because like guys thought it was weird.
No, because I was tearing up. I was literally like, her name's Butter, and I was just like, Butter.
Her name's Butter.
It's like when you're at a party and you realize your pet's home alone and you're like, I need to go.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Butter.
Yeah, Butter. I love names of like food or like real people names, like Stephanie. That makes me laugh.
Oh yeah.
Thanks. Oh man. Well, I mean, you're a great guest for this. I mean, do you have any last words of like advice, wisdom that people can take with them to follow their dreams?
I think that like, just like throw out any story you had when you were a kid of what you think success is, and any patterns that you were taught of like what's right and wrong, and start to just listen to what you want. It's, and being selfish like that is actually really healthy, because it's the only way you could be happy, because it's just you.
Just
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah. And where can people find you?
Oh, yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at beingburns, BEINGBERNZ, and subscribe to the Burning in Hell podcast, BERN. It's a pun in my name. It's cute. It's not a devil worshiping podcast. But yeah, I love you guys so much. I'm so happy we got to connect in LA.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Sweet.
Sweet. Thank you.
Right. Bye. Bye, guys. Love you. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show. Our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
And I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and TTomComedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Why won't